Good morning, and welcome to On the Record. I'm Ashley Sterner. The Irene and Richard Frary Gallery, located in the Johns Hopkins University Bloomberg Center in Washington, D.C., has been open less than a year, and it now features an exhibit that draws heavily on the shining talents of its neighbor to the north. It's called Strong, Bright, Useful, and True: Recent Acquisitions and Contemporary Art from Baltimore. The exhibit runs through September 6th. And here to tell us about it is the gallery's inaugural director, Caitlin Berry. Berry was also first at the helm of the Rubel Museum of Contemporary Art in D.C., and her career spans running commercial galleries and managing collections and acquisitions. She joins us via Zoom. Welcome to On the Record, Caitlin.
Hi, Ashley. Good morning. Thank you for the welcome.
Thanks for being here. The Frary Gallery is described as exploring the intersection of arts and democracy. What exactly does that mean?
So in my mind, the role of an artist in a healthy democracy is incredibly vital. Artists can really hold up a mirror to society at any given time and ask us how we want to participate in our world, and also reflect the moment in more meaningful ways than perhaps anyone else. And so at the Frary Gallery, I think that you can expect exhibitions that encourage conversation around some of the most pressing issues of our time and historically, history kind of tends to be a spiral. And so, you know, our inaugural presentation was graphic design and art of the European avant-gardes, you know, rare books and works on paper from between 1910 and 1941 in Eastern Europe. This second exhibition, which centers Baltimore artists, is also artists who are responding to a moment of, you know, great social change, and artists responding to the world in real time.
Where did the exhibit featuring works from Baltimore artists come from?
So there is a few things going on in this exhibition that are very exciting for a multitude of reasons, but the bud of the blossom was really Johns Hopkins University's Collecting Committee's acquisition efforts. And so this committee, which is made up of faculty, staff, students, alumni, and trustees, were assembled to identify artists working in Baltimore who were really representing the city. And so over the past 2 years, there have been over 20 works of art acquired by the collecting committee and therefore the university. And so this most recent round of acquisitions, all of these works are on view here, as well as a couple from the prior year's acquisition efforts, in conversation with other works of art that were already existing in the Johns Hopkins campus collections by Baltimore artists. Rounding out the exhibition is a loan from the Baltimore Museum of Art, a work of time-based media by Candace Williams. And so in concert, they're sort of illustrative of Johns Hopkins' devotion to elevating the creative culture in and around the Baltimore region.
Why do you think it's important that Baltimore's perspectives be on view in our nation's capital?
I think there's always been a beautiful connection between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. And, you know, the mission of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg Center is also encompassing of creating this stronger connection between the two cities. I think we see it play out repeatedly on an international stage that culture can drive diplomacy. And so to create a platform for visual culture in a place that's frequented by experts in, you know, AI and foreign policy, space and public health, I have to believe that we can offer an opportunity for folks to think creatively or more creatively around some of the most pressing issues of our time.
And the title of the exhibit, Strong, Bright, Useful, and True, what does that mean?
So the title of the exhibition is actually derived from President Daniel Gilman, the first president of Johns Hopkins University, his inaugural address in 1876. And these adjectives, strong, bright, useful, and true, were meant to describe the scholars who would emerge from Johns Hopkins University into the world. But I think these same adjectives can be applied to artists, the most poignant of which I actually think is the word useful. Artists can really help us recognize our shared sense of humanity, and what can be more useful than that?
Especially in these times.
That's right.
This is On the Record. I'm Ashley Sterner, speaking with Caitlin Berry, director of the Irene and Richard Frary Gallery at the Hopkins Bloomberg Center in Washington, D.C. We're talking about the latest exhibit, Strong, Bright, Useful, and True, Recent Acquisitions and Contemporary Art from Baltimore. And we're joined now by Jarrell Gibbs, whose artwork is represented in the show. Gibbs is also currently preparing for two other solo shows, one scheduled for the Baltimore Museum of Art. Back in 2021, he was commissioned to paint the official portrait of the late Maryland U.S. Representative Elijah Cummings, now installed in the U.S. Capitol. Welcome to On the Record, Jarrell.
Thanks for having me.
Your work captures everyday scenes, often quietly filled with emotion. Describe for us the piece of yours that's part of this exhibit.
Yes, Can't Let Them See Me Cry is the painting that is on display. The entire theme for the work was centered around a solo show of mine that took place in 2024 at James Cohen Gallery in New York City. That was me taking a deep dive into the loss of my father at a young age and what it meant to me, how it affected me and impacted me growing up, and how it kind of helped me mature, but also at the same time, the negative effects of it. Can't Let Them See Me Cry is an opportunity for me to investigate what it means to be comfortable with being vulnerable, opening it up, and thinking about ways that I could be honest and open about my emotions and express myself in a way that was more authentic and a way that allowed me to grow from the experience.
What does the painting look like?
So you have a figure, a boy, a young boy in the shower, and he's obviously alone in the shower with himself, and the shower water is running over his head, and he has his hands covering his face. So there's a combination of like the water falling on his head in addition to the tears running down his face at the same time.
What do you hope people will take away from viewing this painting?
I would love for people to understand that you know, one specifically for me and for the men of my community, the people that I love, the friends that I have, we have to get to a point where we are okay with expressing ourselves in a way that offers us an opportunity to grow, offers us a chance to go beyond the norm of what our past ways of expression has been. For a long time, I grew up with the understanding that men don't cry. And again, this opportunity to present this work offers viewers, including people in my community, the opportunity to engage with their inner self and inner being in a way that may not have been accepted in the past.
So in a way, it's a critique of current norms of social masculinity.
Absolutely.
What does it mean to you, Jarrell, both personally and professionally, to be a part of this exhibit?
Personally, super excited about the opportunity to be represented in the United States Capitol building and to have a work on display at the Bloomberg Center in Washington, D.C. at the same time offers myself, as well as my family, my friends, and my community, the opportunity to come and engage with the works in D.C. It's more of an opportunity for them to really see the work, you know, at the Capitol building. Who necessarily don't have that chance. But at the Bloomberg Center, they have every opportunity to go and see the work in person and experience it. So that's personally an achievement of mine. You know, I'm always thinking about how to present my work in a way that offers accessibility to the people that I love. So I'm super excited about that. And as it relates to just Baltimore in particular, it's just good to have the cross-pollination between the Washington, D.C. area and the Baltimore area. We're so close. And again, I'm always thinking about community and always thinking about my family and my friends and the people that I love. For them to be able to engage with the work and see the work up close and personal means a lot.
Also, Baltimore and D.C. so close geographically, but in many ways, they're so far apart socially.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think the beauty of this show is it brings together these different voices, right? These different voices from different places in the world, but they represent a voice that's very close, if that makes sense. So, yeah, we're in Baltimore. The show is in D.C. There's an opportunity for people to understand that everything that we go through is the same. these stories are represented in DC just as well as they're represented in Baltimore. And the show offers the opportunity for people to see that.
Caitlin, who are some of the other artists in this show? What are their works like?
There are so many, too many to name them all. And I have kind of a new favorite work of art every day. But one of the first works that you see when you walk in the gallery is a work by Bria Sterling Wilson called What Do We Have to Lose? And Bria is, you know, inspired by life in Baltimore City and Baltimore County, and using imagery from her family's archives and also images from archived Ebony and Jet magazines to create collages that are representative of her life in Baltimore, and that may, you know, to Jarrell's point, provide a sort of point of representation for folks who come to the gallery and who view her work to see themselves represented on the walls. Also, the work of Kei Ito. So Kei originally hails from Japan, and he's looking at, you know, the enduring impact of nuclear history on micro and macro scales, but his work is based on his grandfather's experience of surviving the explosion of an atomic bomb in Hiroshima in Japan in 1945. And so in this work, he's actually applying things like honey and tree sap and sort of oil-based balms that were formerly used by the survivors of the bomb in Hiroshima to treat burns, and applying those things to photographic paper. So the result is a chemogram that transforms these materials into something that can both feel very cellular and like you're looking through a microscope, but then also feels kind of vast and cosmic simultaneously. And so, again, like Jarrell's made such good points here that we do have this shared experience, both, you know, cellularly and in the broader level, that we're sort of all on this planet together.
There's so many different works in this exhibit. As a whole, Caitlin, what do you want visitors to take away from it?
I want visitors to feel like they're voices and their perspectives are important in our national tapestry and in the tapestry that exists between Washington and Baltimore. And I think someone can walk in and expect to be excited by the array of different stories that are being told, and also kind of comforted by this shared sense of identity. You know, Baltimore has always been exciting culturally, and I'm thrilled that it's now getting its due on the national and international stages, and see an institution like Johns Hopkins recognizing, understanding, and celebrating its own community, I think sets an incredibly important precedent for the way other universities can interact in their own communities as well.
Jarrell, you're currently preparing for a solo show at the Baltimore Museum of Art. What will that show encompass?
Well, actually, I'm preparing for two solo museum shows. The first will be at the Brandywine Museum of Art this September in Chatsworth, Pennsylvania. And this will be almost like an early retrospective. So there will be about 40 or so works that span about 6 or 7 years of my career. So I'm super excited about that. And then the show at the Baltimore Museum of Art, which opens in the fall of 2026, will be centered around specifically my aunt's home. That's where I grew up in Baltimore.
And Caitlin, what's on the horizon for the Frary Gallery?
I think you can expect to see an array of different exciting possibilities in this space. I look forward to sharing with you what our next exhibition will be and opening this fall. So a bit of historic works, contemporary works, and, you know, highlighting Hopkins collections, but also partnerships with other major institutions and curators. And there will always be something new and exciting to see here.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this exhibit next time I make it to DC. Thank you both for telling us about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Caitlin Berry is director of the Irene and Richard Frary Gallery at the Johns Hopkins University Bloomberg Center in Washington, D.C. Artist Jarrell Gibbs has work in the current exhibit called Strong, Bright, Useful, and True, Recent Acquisitions in Contemporary Art from Baltimore. It runs through September 6th, and it's free and open to the public. There's more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Ashley Sterner. Short break now. When On the Record's back, a Stoop story. Stay with us.